Yeah, g'day everyone, and welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast, a weekly Titans podcast that covers absolutely everything you need to know about the greatest club in the entire world. If you're new here, my name is Clarkie Dane from Rugby League, from whose column? Let me restart that.
Do you even know what your name is?
G'day everyone, and welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast, a weekly Titans podcast that covers absolutely everything you need to know about the greatest club in the entire world, so much so that we forget our own name when we do the intro the first time. My name is Dane, and I am also known as Clarkie from Clarkie's Rugby League column, and this is Blaze from BKR Sport. Coming off the back of Magic Round, mate, we move into a Indigenous Round.
You're all over the shop today, aren't you?
You are all over the shop today.
Mate, it's definitely the season, isn't it? You know, when you just kind of get into, you're right in the midst of it, you know, Origin's about to come, you've got that grind going on, and we're coming off a pretty harsh loss at Magic Round. But, I feel the season is what I'm saying here. But with that being said, you know, it was a great round there at Magic Round with Dane, or funnily known as Clarkie, or Clarkie's Rugby League column, if he can actually say it. But no, it was a great time to be alive, especially at the pregame function that we had. Thanks to the membership team. They've been organising a whole bunch of functions this year, which has been so good. There was one in Canberra, Townsville, Auckland, and also in Brisbane. And there will also be one in Sydney for the Tigers game as well. So, you know, we're a really big community-based club, and we're really looking to make sure the members feel that they are a part of the club, because they absolutely are. And yeah, look, the result may not have gone our way, but at the end of the day, we're just going to keep on punching on. We're going to keep on, well, don't punch on, but unless it's a Broncos fan, but keep on pumping on, and we're just going to keep on doing what we're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. And as we were kind of speaking about at the function, and we've spoken about on here before, the community is the strength of the Gold Coast Titans. Our fans aren't like Panthers fans, for example, recently. We haven't been rewarded with massive amounts of success, but we're still here every weekend. We still love this team. We love our community. We love the Gold Coast, as you can see by our backdrops if you're watching here on YouTube today. So, yeah, big shout out to Chris Nell and the entire membership team.
I just want to put a little bit of a quick question here first before you shout out Nelly. So I live in this area. Do you live in the area that you've got behind you? Like, do you know that suburb?
Born and raised.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Do you know where that is, or?
Mate, some of us have to make sacrifices to put bread on the table and have to move away from the most beautiful place on earth. But
mate, I've got bread on the table, but it's only bread. You know, there's nothing else. It's just bread. But at least I live on the Gold Coast, you know. So,
well, I might have bread with a little bit of margarine here and there, but I won't push it too far. A little bit of housekeeping, guys. Join us on our Facebook group. It's the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Group. We've also got the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast, which you can join that as well. And make sure you follow the Titans Frontline on Instagram. In both of those locations, we'll run ticket giveaways. And if you're interested in joining the Frontline or even just sitting with us for one game, you can message that Instagram and we'll point you in the right direction there. Like, subscribe, follow, 5 stars, do all that good stuff. And let's jump into our first segment, which is the Titans News segment. Off the top, it is Indigenous Round, and in the spirit of reconciliation, the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past, present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Love Indigenous Round, man.
Quick quiz, mate. You got it right. We did our. You got it right. No. When we did. Go on. Tell me what the representation is here in the Indigenous wording for the Gold Coast.
Absolutely. So the Indigenous peoples or community of the Gold Coast region was the Yugambeh people, who have lived there for. I'm not sure how long they lived in the thing, but I always find it really cool, man. That Aboriginal culture as a whole is the oldest living continuous culture in the world. And as Australians, I think we're pretty lucky to have such a cool Indigenous culture as part of this beautiful country. Big shout out to these two lads here, Preston Campbell and Scott Prince, arguably two of our greatest and two Indigenous lads. So that's awesome as well. We've had some fantastic Indigenous players represent us over the years. Greg Bird comes to mind, Ryan James, Jaden now currently, Dave Fafita, and a plethora of others. So we've been really blessed with Indigenous talent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I've actually, you know, been really intrigued and interested in the last couple of years about like the Indigenous history and the culture of our country. And I think it is just such an amazing part of Australia, the whole history that surrounds the Indigenous people. So it's a great round to really connect with it, the spirituality of it all. And yeah, it's really something that we support heavily here on the Gold Coast. And as Dane just said, like, we've had a lot of history. Like, Preston Campbell was a big benefactor and the creator, effectively, of the Indigenous All-Stars clash. I nearly said Indigenous versus Māori, but that was a little bit later on. The original one was actually held at Seabuster Stadium. I was there. Were you there, Dan?
2007. I don't think I was, but I did watch it on television.
I remember. I think the first one was 2010, wasn't it? 2010 or 2011?
Oh, you're right. It wasn't. It was 2010. Yeah, you're right. I was wrong there. 2010 was the first one, and it's been missed maybe 1 or 2 years since. But apart from that, it's ran every year against the NRL All-Stars, the World All-Stars, and now the Māori All-Stars in its most recent iteration.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's amazing. And I remember I was there, and I don't actually have any Indigenous roots myself. However, I was actually supporting the Indigenous on that day because of obviously the impact that Preston Campbell has. So, yeah, we love Presto. We love all the Indigenous lads that have come through and the females as well. You know, we've got a couple of Indigenous females amongst the NRLW team right now. And, yeah, I think that our club is just one of those clubs across the league that really do emphasise this. You look at the Rabbitohs, they obviously love their Indigenous representation. You've got the Titans. Who would be another club? Is there many other clubs? Really, I see the Broncos are starting to push a little bit more now, but they haven't in the past with the likes of Ezra Mam and whatnot, and Selwyn Cobo too, I believe. But who else? What other clubs really do push the Indigenous representation as much as we do?
I'm not sure if as many clubs push it as heavily as we do, and really, you know, extend that beyond the round. But I'm certainly happy that, like, you know, every single team is putting in effort into these jerseys now. They're consulting elders or emerging elders as part of their communities and designing some really cool jersey designs that go past artwork on a jersey. It tells a story. So I think it's really cool that every NRL team's really getting involved in it now, because there's years where teams have, well, I think the Panthers last year changed like one thing on their Indigenous jersey. They didn't put much effort in. But this year, everyone's put in effort. Everyone's Indigenous jerseys look bloody awesome. So I'm not sure if anyone does it as great as us, but certainly every club's putting in the effort, and that's awesome to see as well.
Actually, that's a good question, just quickly, and this is, otherwise we'll go on forever. But in regards to the Panthers, obviously a majority of their players are more of Islander descent, like Samoan or Tongan or a Māori, Kiwi, and whatnot. Is there actually an Indigenous player currently playing for the Panthers right now?
Dane Laurie. Okay, he's in reserve grade, not in their NRL squad. Dane Laurie would be one. I think that might be it. I think it might be Dane Laurie at the moment.
So maybe that's why they don't, like, and this isn't an excuse or anything like that, but maybe that's why they don't put as much of an emphasis at, comparatively to like clubs like ours or the Rabbitohs that do have a very large Indigenous representation. So maybe that might be why, and they do focus a lot more on that Pacifica round, I think it is, that we do earlier on in the year. But yeah, look, I think it's a great round. I'm looking forward to it. And a couple of years ago, we played the Broncos on Indigenous round. So hopefully it's a different result this time.
Yeah, I don't remember that off the top of my head, but by the sounds of it, I don't want
to remember. You don't want to remember that one, fine. Man. You don't want to remember that one, bro.
That's fine. Let's sweep that one under the rug and move straight into our news segment. Judiciary news, we had one charge coming from last round. It was Keenan Palacio, grade one careless tackle, same as most weeks, guys, just a 1K fine there with an early guilty plea. Injury news, horrible, like a horrible way to start this show. Jamin Joloff has torn his pec last round against the Knights. He will undergo surgery and miss roughly the next 12 weeks. I don't know what this means for our squad, Blaze, in terms of I didn't necessarily expect us to play finals, right? So we're not like a team that's looking at losing our best forward or who has been our best forward this year and Jimmy and going, okay, this has huge top eight implications. But I think I just look at it personally from Jimmy and I'm devastated for him. Because it's not up for debate. He is our most improved player this year. He is one of the most improved players over the competition. And this is just horrible timing. I feel really, really bad for Jimmy, mate. What do you make of the situation?
Yeah, this one's a really frustrating one, man, because obviously in the absence of Tino, Jimmy has really turned into the player that we knew he could be, the Irish international, just an absolute big bopper and the leader that we did need in those forwards, because you lose Tino and, you know, although you go to the back row, Dave and Bowie aren't, you wouldn't look at them as the leaders, right? They're very quality players, unbelievable. You wouldn't look at them necessarily as leaders. And Isaac Liu, who's been our 13, or even Cleese Huss, Liu was too kind of quiet to be that leader. He is really, he goes about what he does and does his business, but he's kind of too quiet to be that leader. And Cleese Huss is obviously so young and super fresh. So you don't really look around there. And then you've got Noe Fonua-Waka, who is an interesting one, right? Because he was our captain on the weekend. and is absolutely a top-notch player. But when it comes to, like, and this was my concern as he was captain, in regards to, I personally could have seen Jimmy actually be more of a, personally, more of a captain. But just because I think Moe earned it via his quality, via the fact that he's been around for a very long time, and I think he deserved it. But I just feel like Jimmy was the guy in our forward pack that we look to say, you know what, you're going to make that big play, and he's going to do that big play. So it's really heartbreaking for him. He has absolutely taken that step up. It gave us, you know, reason to believe next year with Moe, with Tino, with Jimmy Joloff, you know, who's our rotation going to be? And instead of just looking at Tino, now we've got Jimmy there. So, yeah, God bless Jamie Joloff. You know, it's obviously going to be a tough one here for the next 12 weeks. I think he might have had this last year as well, if I'm not mistaken. Was it a pec injury with Jimmy as well last year?
I can't remember the exact injury, but I do remember he missed a significant period because we were discussing how his impact from the bench is so important when we're going to miss it.
Mm. Yeah, so look, yeah, very heartbreaking there, man. We're just going to have to, you know, who's going to be the leader in the full pack now? Who is going to be? Because we've got now Jozy Pahulu coming up, Josiah Pahulu. You know, Cleese Haas is there. We've got Dave and Bo. We've got Moe. Moe's going to have to be that guy now. He has to be him. You know, he can't kind of... It's not like he's been bad. He just hasn't been at that next level. He has been good the last couple of weeks for sure, better than his early season form. But he just needs to really step up and really lead from the front now. So, man, we are injury pillars this year. And we just need to see someone find a way to be the Jimmy Joloff to what Tino was. You know, Jimmy came in, was Tino. Now we need maybe Moe to be the Jimmy of what we've had.
And I think for Jimmy, I look forward to the members round in the final round of the season, which I think he should be okay for. If we're in round 12 now, we add 13 to that, he should be all right to return for those last few games. And I think that all of us members that are at that round, if he is back and returns in round 27, should give him a really big round of applause and really thank him for his efforts to start the season and hopefully to finish it as well.
So round 27 is Panthers away, and round 26 is Knights away. Round 25, I think, is Roosters at home. So for that to happen, he would have to be back by round 25 at home against the Sydney Roosters.
That's pushing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fingers crossed Jimmy can get back for that day, but if not, hopefully he does a lap with the players and we can all congratulate him on what was a great season regardless of this injury. Speaking of injuries, one more horrible one to report. Ben Liu, he hasn't played NRL for us, but he is in our top 30, I believe, or in a development deal. He has suffered another ACL rupture. He returned this year for the Jets, coming off an ACL rupture. Unfortunately, he has done it again. So that is absolutely devastating for a young fella there. I've highlighted that on screen so you can see that there from our Titans website. Some signings news, Blaze. We've got two new NRLW signings. Now, I'm going to be very careful in this pronunciation here. I believe it's Nato Kotu'oru Arakau and Georgia Sim. We've signed them for our NRLW side for the 2024 season, and that's because we've lost Destiny Minas in a party, Ivana Lolosia, and Shate Kiriaratu to season-ending knee injuries. So these two women join us from the BMD competition. Georgia is a former Rugby Sevens player, from what I understand, and Arakau is a former Kiwis international and an NRLW premiership winner with the Broncos. So handy signings indeed there for our NRLW side, right?
Yeah, look, obviously both men's and women's teams right now are getting pillaged for our talent. And, you know, if the women's season coming up, I think 25th of July is when the first game of the season is on, whether that's us or just in general. You know, we've still got a little bit of time before then, about 2 months. But, you know, these are long-term injuries that we're receiving. So, no, good signings there. Hopefully they can turn it on. And I believe in Karen Murphy. I think Karen Murphy is one of the best coaches in the game. That's why we were in the grand final last season. And I believe we can still turn it on with these replacements as well.
Yeah, awesome. Karen Murphy is a great coach. That's why the Clive Churchill medal in the men's game is actually called the Karen Murphy medal in the NRLW grand final.
She won coach awesome. The year too, didn't she?
She would have had to, I believe. I remember we missed out on a few things, but I'm 99% confident. Yes, she was coach of the year last year. Speaking of NRLW, just a broad reminder, our girls will be back on Monday, June 3rd to start their preseason. If any locals, Titans fans want to get down and support them, it's going to be a tough start to the year because we're going to have a big preseason and win that competition.
Mm.
Final piece of news, man. Probably not one we want to go over, but we have to. Aaron Schopp gone immediately to the Sea Eagles. I'll go to you first. I know you've had some chats with Shoppy around the club. Always appreciate his time in the jersey. What was your reaction when you saw he was moved on?
Yeah, look, it wasn't a great surprise. You know, we did obviously hear the rumors about the Eels last year, and they just didn't want to give them as long of a contract, allegedly, apparently, right? That's not fact or anything like that. But we did kind of get rumblings that last year, and then this one's come out. And, you know, I think it's best for Aaron's career, and I think he knows that as well. I think that they're fully fit and fully healthy. We do have some guys that are above him in the pecking order, and, you know, he's really good when it comes to the Host Plus Cup and cup action and whatnot. But, you know, maybe he hasn't exactly found his feet to where we would probably like him to be when it comes to the Gold Coast Titans. And I think he definitely knows that from conversations that I've had with him. So, you know, nothing but love for him at Manly. Yeah, obviously going to Manly, my dad's team. So nothing but love for him, and see if he can put himself in there, because I think that he does have a spot waiting for him in the centres potentially when he does get there.
Yeah, I've always rated Shoppy defensively as well. And that's why I was surprised last round when he missed 8 tackles. And that's not the Aaron Shop that we've seen in reserve grade this year. So I can only think the lack of opportunity we've given him in NRL led him to explore some different options with his manager. I don't think his head was all quite there last round, and that's completely fine. I still say thank you very much to Shoppy for your time with the Titans, your efforts with us, and we hope you enjoyed your time at our club. And we wish you all the best in your
next. He's a Sydney boy at heart as well, man. Like, he's from Sydney. He loves Sydney. You know, it's the Gold Coast was a great opportunity for him. It hasn't necessarily worked out, but there's definitely no, you know, annoyance from either side, I don't believe. He's happy to go back home, and, you know, we wish him nothing but the best of luck.
We wish him nothing but the best of luck, absolutely. But what we do go to now, with a big blast from the past, I'm going to click both my fingers. Boom! You can see that score right there, Blaze. You know I love it. Round 7, I love Saturday. It. 27th of June, Broncos, 12, Titans, 30, 5-2, absolutely loved this game. I could have gone to our victory last year as my blast from the past, given we were missing Tino. I went back a little bit further. What I loved about this game in particular, I need to go across to the team list, Blaze, and point out that we had a lot of Broncos players in our lineup. I'm talking Dale Copley, Ash Taylor, Keegan Hipgrave was a junior there. I'm not sure if he debuted there. Jai Arrow, Tanner Boyd, and Jared Wallace. And largely, the league and Broncos fans, really outside of Jai Arrow, viewed them all as rejects. And the Broncos were heavy favorites here to beat us for that reason. Not us. Not the Gold Coast Titans frontline. We believe in our players and our team every single week, and we get behind them. In the end, not a competitive game at all. We go into halftime 22-0 up. We win from there, 30-12 at Suncorp. What sort of memories do you have from this game? Were you at Suncorp for this one?
No, this would have been COVID year, 2020. So this probably would have been 6,000. So, well, no, I was stuck in Fiji in 2020, and in 2021 I was stuck in Sydney. So I wasn't able to go to many games in between those two. But I definitely would have been streaming it, and it would have been an absolutely great time to be alive. Like I always say, those couple of years are always very kind of easily forgettable, except for 2021, because that was when we did make the finals there. But no, obviously, it's always a great time beating the Broncos, especially when it's at Suncorp, because then we can do our little na-na-na-na-na-na right in front of them. They really love that, guys. If you're at Suncorp this week, well, I'm not going to encourage you to do it, because it will get a nice little reception. But if you do have a bit of a laugh there, and we do score a try to go above them, na-na-na-na-na-na, you do that, man. It's too funny. But yeah, look, obviously, we always go in as underdogs to the Broncos. I loved a couple of names there that we did have on our lineup. And, you know, hopefully we can try and master this weekend and go there and do it again. Because obviously we were at Suncorp this previous weekend just gone. I watched Brian Kelly score a try to win us the game. So we must be on 3 wins in a row now. You know, Cowboys, Knights, and then this one.
Yeah, in terms of showing my favourite memory from this game, I'm cautious to do it here on YouTube because I might get us a copyright strike. And, of course, our listeners on podcast players would have no idea what's going on. So let me try to explain it here. Lueke Fodoaker, he holds on to, I can't remember which Broncos player it was, for like a second too long. And the referee goes, no, that's intentional. Get off. And Sin bin him with 3 minutes to go. And it was like we had a penalty or two before that, but It was a bit of an overreaction.
I don't think that was at the end of the game. It was in the first half, though, yeah?
First half, exactly right. So then while we've got Mo off the field, they come down their left side and they're just trying to find an extra number. They try to go the long ball. Anthony Don just shoots between the center, jumps up, grabs it, does a little spin, says, see you later, and runs to score underneath the post, which puts us up 22-0 at halftime. I absolutely love that moment from Don.
Mate, see you later, Broncos. He will score. If you feed the Don, he will score. It's just as simple as that, mate.
It's not a question. It's not a question. It's not up for debate. If you're going to give the Don a pill that easy, he's going to swallow it like he's at schoolies back in 1990, whenever the Don went to school.
What's happening at schoolies? What, are you good? What?
Hey, come on, mate. What? All I'm saying is the Don could have a wild past. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. We love you, Don.
You've lost control. You've lost your mind.
We're going to have to make the podcast MA15 plus this week. All thanks to my silly comments. Mate, let's move to our next section. It is the Titans trivia segment. We went head-to-head last week. You got it. So 1-0 yourself. It's your turn to shoot a question at me this week, mate. So down the iron sights, pull the trigger, bang, what have you got?
All right, I'm going to give you, I want it to be not too hard of a one for you here, mate, all right? So I'm actually just going to go to last year. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to go to last year. I know that you know the score, but I want you to tell me who scored the tries in this game. Who were the try scorers in this game? And obviously, who kicked the conversions?
So last year we lost at Newcastle, 46-26.
But we're playing the Broncos, mate. That's the trivia question.
Oh, I thought we were doing the Knights, sorry, because that was who we versed this week. Okay, so we're talking Broncos.
Well, okay, so I'll go tell you then. So the game at Suncorp between the Titans and the Broncos.
Yep.
Obviously, we won that game. But okay, firstly, what's the score and who scored the tries?
I feel like it was tight and we only just won. I'm going to say the score was 20-18. Am I far off?
Yes and no.
Okay, I feel like they were closer to us. I don't remember the score or try scores. I do remember certain things about the game. Like I remember Tino was out after Origin. And Patrick Carrigan was, he played for them.
So Tino, they were definitely. Yeah, Tino was out an hour before the game is when we found out about this one. So I'll give you the scores. It was 18-12 at Suncorp Stadium. So there's three try scorers. There's three try scorers. Name three.
All right. So we had three try scorers. Jaden Campbell. Philip Sami.
No, sir.
So if I get one more wrong, I'm out here.
Yes.
See, I don't want to go too bold here. I would have been Dave Fifita.
Yes, Dave got one. So you've got another chance. You've got another chance now.
Does that reset my three lives?
No, you've lost two lives. You've got one life left, but you've got Dave Fifita correct.
Okay, I know Dave always scores against him. I feel like this is, if I get this wrong, everyone's going to laugh at me for saying this as my last life, but I feel like Moeki Fodawaker scored.
So the two answers were Brian Kelly and also Olofiana Kamparera.
Damn, see, that's too obvious.
There he is, mate. Our biggest win of last season against our biggest rivals, and you don't remember what the score was. I like this game very, very much. Very, very, very much. I like it.
I remember your vlog from after. I remember Tino being. I remember certain things, just not the actual score.
Yeah, it was at Fafita Corp Stadium, mate. Fafita Corp Stadium, all over.
Big Davey boy, backflip boy himself. We love you, Dave. Thank you so much for doing that.
So it's 1-0 me, mate. It's 1-0 me after 2 weeks.
All righty, Blazers goes up 1-0. And if you did play at home and you got that right, you're probably sitting there scratching your head. Oh, come on, Clarky, get it. Very, very hard when the pressure's on. All righty, mate. Let's do it. Let's recap last round. We go down to the Newcastle Knights 24-28 in another tight loss. So that means our last six games now have been decided by 4 points or less. Now, there is still a lot of positives to come from these games, and I suppose the best place we should start on this one is the Brian Kelly disallowed try. So I'll go straight to you. What were your thoughts on that decision?
Yeah, I can't remember you saying, I can't remember seeing the score. I was there, you were there. I can't remember seeing 24 to 28, to be completely honest with you. I thought it was 30 to 28 there because we all know that's a try. And I don't even need to really argue it. You know, I don't care what Graham Annesley has to say because Graham Annesley is a professional liar. And I'll say here and I'll say that right now because anyone who watches that and knows that game and saw that game and saw that try knows it is a try. And if you want to say, if you want to say that potentially could be that little bubble there, well, guess what? They called it a try on field. So there has to be guaranteed 100% conclusive evidence to overturn that, to say it's a no try. It took them like 5 minutes. It took them like 5 minutes. It can't take you 5 minutes if it's conclusive. It should take you 30 seconds if it's conclusive. If it's obvious and guaranteed, then absolutely. If they had called that as a no try on the field, I would have been a little bit more content with it. I would have thought that it was a try, but I would have been content and said, okay, the on-field call was no try, so they've gone with the on-field call. I would have been okay with that. But for it to be on-field as try, and conversations that I've had afterwards as well with people involved, they all thought it was a try on the field. All of them thought, and that's everyone, for them to go to the bunker, take as long as it did, and then to overturn the decision to me is absolutely insane. So I will say, hands down right now, I actually, you know what? There's been a few people talk about this in Titans groups recently. You know, we talk about the fact that there's been five controversial games. I think there's only two. There's only two that I really look at and say, okay, I believe Rob, right? Because they're in the crucial moments of the game. That's the Raiders game where they apologize, but also try to dilly-daddle and lessen the impact by coming up with something that never gets brought up in regards to anybody, but they try to lessen the impact of the rivalry by bringing up other things in the Raiders game. And then this game, Graham Annesley all weekend long, had the ideology and the thought process that it was a try. Guaranteed. It came out everywhere. Graham Annesley had the belief that it was a try. On the day of is when he switches it. So where's the conclusivity there? Not even he can conclusive say that it was a no try. So it's just a confusing situation. But I always say, like, yeah, look, Raiders and Knights, they're controversial. Melbourne, Manly, and whatever other game is part and parcel with the bad calls. We should do better to win that game. But those two ones, one in extra time, one with 2 minutes to go, I can't move past and say, no, that we just got dudded, you know, and we should have done better.
I think it's all for me. Like, not only do I mirror everything you said there, where, like, we're looking for 101% without any shadow of the doubt there was a bubble there. And I love your point that if it is conclusive and it is obvious, you pick it out right away. If it does drag on for as long as it did, it's clear that it's not 100% conclusive at that point. But regardless, I go to the inconsistencies by the NRL because Tui Kamakamitha, that very Absolutely. Next day, he bobbles it over the line and it's awarded a try. We've had inconsistencies with our club. Another one is Philip Sammy's try. I believe that was awarded a try.
There were four instances on the weekend, man. There was our one. There was the Tui Kamakamitha one. There was the Hamiso / Marshall King one. And there was also the Dom Young one. The only one that got called a no try was us. And yet Tui Kamakamitha's was a clear bubble. Like, that was clear. You could very clearly see this. And the Hamiso and Marshall King one, JMK one, was also quite clear. But yet we were the only ones who got data from it. So then, you know, when opposition fans come out and say, oh, you guys are just complaining for the sake of it. No, we're complaining because the consistency is actually against us. There's only been two actual official apologies this season throughout the competition. Like, two official big-time apologies. One was when we played the Storm, and one was when we played the Raiders. And honestly, we should have received one on Monday, but Graham Annesley doesn't have the balls to do it, obviously, and come out against his own referees. So this is why Titans fans complain, because the inconsistency is rife, and it's always against us at the moment. It's like Cowboys, the early 2010s.
And I completely mirror what you're saying there, and I think for me it comes back to last year as well. We versed the Dolphins. Aaron Clark is ruled offside, and the Dolphins get a penalty in front to win the game. Then later that season, we have the Eels go offside for us. Nothing gets called. And then there was another game where something like that happened as well.
It was actually the next game. So the Dolphins game happened, and then into the Eels game, and then the Raiders game in Canberra with Dave Fafita.
Exactly right. And then the Raiders game this year as well. So it's not that we're whinging, and it's not that we want special treatment from the NRL. We just want consistency, and the same rules apply to us. Like, it's, you know, it's easy to be a conspiracy nut and say it's because we're a small team and they don't care and stuff like that. I don't know if I want to go that far. I just want to go as far to say, just give us consistent calls. If that's a bobble and a no try by Brian Kelly, how was Tui Kamakamitha's a try? How was Phil's a try a week earlier against the Storm? And it didn't even benefit us. Like when that call goes with us, Blaze, and we get that 50-50 bunker decision, we still lose the game against the Storm there. It doesn't help us.
Because later on in the game, they had to apologize for a bad call. But I'll give you a conspiracy here. I'll give you a conspiracy. What if Graham Annesley and the Titans fell out when he left us? Because obviously he was a big part of our organization back in the day. What if Graham Annesley and the Titans fell out and potentially, you know, you might have it in for us when it comes to the officiating? Just throwing out a conspiracy there for everybody there because, you know, right this very second, I'm feeling a little bit dodgy about Graham Annesley.
So I've got one on that, and it's actually the opposite, which is interesting because we both have a different perspective there. For me, one thing with my page I've always struggled to do is really give the Titans big raps because everyone's then going to say, you're just being biased. It's because you've told us you're a fan. You're a passionate supporter. And so with Graham Annesley being the former CEO of the Titans, if he does come out and back us over his referees, he could also be worried of the public perception that, hey, it looks bad that I'm always backing the Titans as opposed to my referees, right?
Shouldn't have that kind of conflict of interest.
It is a conflict of interest. Will it restrict him from performing his duties? It feels like it as a Titans fan, but we're not going to get any justice. Another slightly controversial moment. This one's been kind of brushed over. The Moeki Fodawaker situation. Did you think that was a sin bin or a penalty try?
I thought that was a sin bin. I was right there. So the reason why I think this is because Dave is still within the vicinity and you have to 100% guarantee to me that Dave can't get there, can't stop it, won't stop it, right? And I don't believe that you can 100% guarantee that. And also, I don't believe that you can 100%. Was it Saifidi that was held back?
I think it was a forward. It was a forward that was held back.
I think it was Saifidi. But either way, it doesn't matter. It's just the person who was there. So, look, I thought that it definitely was a sin bin and a penalty. But there's no way I could have called penalty try, in my personal opinion. But, yeah, for some reason, Graham Annesley, despite the fact that no one's really been talking about that, decide to like attack Mo in that. And this is why I have that real negative viewpoint of Graham Annesley right now, because he seems to like to go at the club and attack the club recently when the questions are raised fairly. And then I know you'll get back to this Mo one in a second on your thoughts, but there's also the one where Keanu Kinney, was it Hetherington, hits the ball out of his hands. And you can clearly see that his hand movement is deliberately trying to knock that ball out. That's a knock on most of the time, which has led to that Knights try immediately there, which was in the second half. So, you know, and I think that we're about to get into the point that, you know, we should have done better in the second half and we should have done more to not give up a lead. But with that being said, we do have a right to criticise and to look at these calls and think, well, you know, it's not like this is the first time we have complaints this season and it's very regular now and not even the NRL is backing us. So, and I can tell you, I've spoken to certain officials and I can say that they believed it was a try.
I think as well, the thing is, you can definitely question referees' decisions whilst also admitting our team should have been better. There's no kidding that we should have been better in that second half, but that doesn't suddenly excuse other things that build up against us in terms of calls. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to discuss that game, you know, kind of from a few different angles. I'll give a positive and a negative. Positive, I loved our fight back. We were down 10-0 before the game was even 10 minutes old, and we fought back with five consecutive tries to head into halftime with a 24-10 lead. I thought that period was beautiful for us, and the belief that the boys had in each other, like defensively, with the ball, it was just an incredible time as a Titans fan there, watching our boys play that brand of footy. The negative, though, is, of course, the second half, where we didn't score a single point, and we conceded three tries. And the reason why I'm so disappointed this year isn't because I expected it. Under Justin Holbrook, when teams would come back in the second half and we'd lose, I expected it. You and I will always say we're never confident at halftime. But this side's different this year. They've shown us we can be confident at halftime. The fact the last six games have been decided by 4 points or less. Our boys are always there. Our boys are always fighting to the death, you know, of the game. We didn't do that this week. We slacked off a little bit in that second half, and I'm disappointed because I know that we're now a better side than that. Let me throw this one out there. We couldn't build any momentum in our sets. It just felt like the Knights were all over us. Our forwards couldn't get momentum. Part of it, yeah, we lost Jimmy. Fair enough. Still had Aaron Clark come off the bench, play great. A few other players really put in some big meters. How many times do you reckon the Knights were pinged for being offside and we were awarded a six again in this game?
I don't believe we got a single one, did we? Or maybe one six again.
Zero.
Zero, there you go.
And it's not just me that feels that way. There's some NRL analysts on Fox League that said as much. They thought that the Knights were offside. I believe Dez said it as well in his post-game press conference. He thought they were offside a little bit in that second half. And to get 0-6 again, Zay, you never want to rely on that as your method of victory, but damn, it would have helped for us to build some momentum.
I'll say something on what you've just said there. You don't want to rely on it as your method of victory, but it can be the reason for you actually losing as well. Like, I've got this thing that a real big gripe with people at the moment who say, like, you know, you should never allow the referees to, you know, dictate your win or loss. But the referees are incredibly important because if you're getting penalised and penalised and penalised in the first half and you're feeling like it's debatable, but let's just say that you're getting penalised, then you're tiring yourself out. You're getting tired. You're getting absolutely roasted. They're just running straight at you. You're getting absolutely exhausted. And that will impact you later on in the game. So, like, even those moments at the beginning of a game where you're just getting, you know, six again against you and whatnot, that has a large impact on you later on in the game. And if the six again count gets equaled up late in the game, well, what's the benefit there to, you know, your team? So if you believe you've been unfairly adjudicated in the first half, that's worse realistically than the second half because you've been kind of forced to become tired and forced to do a lot, mountain more work, and they expect you to kind of fall away. Now, again, I'm not saying that it's only the referee's fault that we lose these games. I think that there is a part of it, but I do think that, yes, we do need to be better. And I did say at halftime here, I said at halftime at Suncorp with people around me, I think I might have even said it to you, like, I don't like second halves at Suncorp Stadium. I don't like second half leads at Suncorp Stadium because that's where that Broncos game in the Indigenous round the other year, we were up 22-0 at one stage and we lost that one by 13+. You know, we've obviously had the other Broncos come back. It was 24-4 or something like that, 24, whatever. The point of the matter is that there is a lot of times at Suncorp Stadium in recent years that we've kind of thrown away leads. So, yeah, it does give you a little bit of that PTSD. But in the same sense, you know, people say don't leave it in the referee's hands when it gets to the end of the game. But in the same sense, they actually did still do enough to win the game. This is the thing that confuses me. They did still do enough because if they give that try to Brian Kelly and they convert that kick, they win the game. So by them taking it away, and if you think it was a try and it being unfair, they did do enough to win it regardless of the comeback if they score that try there. So that's the confusion part that I find that people just don't really understand. They did do enough despite the comeback if you believe it was a try.
Yeah, another week where there's some positives, there's some negatives, there's some controversy. It just feels like that's a bit of a common theme in our last six games. So fingers crossed this week we can just get on here and just discuss just the black and whites of footy, where we played well, where we played bad, what we need to work on, what we liked. Fingers crossed we can get that this week.
We've been on this podcast many times and admitted fair defeat. The Bulldogs game, we admitted fair defeat. The Dragons game, you know, the Dolphins game, and a heap of other games throughout last year that were either close or larger, we can absolutely admit when we don't have the unfair or perspective-wise invalid officiating. So it's not that we're just whinging because we lost. We're whinging because we actually have a genuine gripe. And if we lose to a close margin fairly, I'm happy to sit here and say we lost it fair and square.
Yeah, I'm always very realistic. And I think no matter what anyone says about the Brian Kelly incident, it was sent up as a try. You need to tell me 1,000% it wasn't a try. And I loved your point that unless you can do that very quickly because it's obvious, it's a try. It was sent up as a try. And that would be my rebuttal to everyone that's saying it's a no try. But ultimately, we have to leave it in the past, mate. It'll be another week that we'll probably look back on when we review our season and talk about these unlucky games. Just like we did last year with the Eels loss, the Raiders loss, etc. But it is what it is. Let's go to some positivity, mate. Let's go to our 3-2-1s. Kick us off for us. Who gets your 3 points this round? It was really tough this week.
Yeah, look, it was pretty tough, to be fair. I thought that there was a couple of really solid players here that got through a mountain of work. And then there were also a couple of players that maybe didn't kind of get the job flowing as much as you probably would have liked. I'm actually going to be giving my 3 points again to Bowie Firma. I'm going to give Bowie Firma some points here. 18 runs for 180 metres. He had 79 post-contact metres in this game. Had a tackle breakthrough, 18 hit-ups. Threw a dummy at one stage as well. Had 42 tackles, which is the second most, just behind Sammy Verrills. but only missed the two tackles with one ineffective. So I thought Bowie Fermor had a great game, and I think that he's really starting to find his form again and work towards potentially getting called up for Queensland.
I think as well, I think Billy Slater will be looking for his defense. That Maroons side has enough X factor throughout it. The likes of Dave Fifita, Reece Walsh, Cherry Evans, etc. There'll be points in that back line and in the forward pack. So Bo Fermor with this defense actually does put his name in the hat again for my liking. I went our other back row for my 3 points. I went Dave Fifita, had 20 touches of the ball, came up with a 2 line break assist and a try assist. Just great offense as always. Powerful runs, attracting in defenders, getting that offload or creating the breaks for us. I think when Dave Fifita is on that left side, and I wish we had Kieran Foran with him, which we didn't, but when Kieran Foran's there with Dave Fifita and Alofiana Khan-Prayer outside of him, I'm always confident we can make breaks and score points. 3 points goes to Davey. Who are you going to give your 2 points to?
I'm going to continue the trend over the last couple of weeks and say that Sammy Verrills is finding his form, absolutely, when he's playing where he needs to play, and that's an 80-minute hooker. You know, obviously our halves depth right now is currently throwing Chrissy Randall into the halves due to injuries and whatnot. And Sammy Verrills was actually originally meant to be the halfback, but then luckily enough, we did get Tommy Weaver here. But yeah, Sam Verrills, I thought, had a great game. You know, he's not necessarily the greatest attacking player, and we don't really have a great attacking hooker at the moment. But I just think that the workload that he has been doing, like he had a try assist in this game, he had a tackle break, he had 2 dummy half runs for 20 metres there, but 49 tackles. He did miss a few tackles, but at the end of the day, he was absolutely, you know, crushing it in regards to making a bucket load, 49 tackles. So, yeah, I thought that he was fantastic, set up that try, that nice little dinky kicking beneath, underneath for, I think it was Cleese Haas, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, Sammy Verrills for me, he was unbelievable, I thought.
Well, my 2 points goes to Aaron Clark, because the moment we lost Jimmy Joloff, we were looking at each other saying, that's a big loss. Who's going to step up and replace him? Ez came from the bench with 163 metres, which ended up being the most of all of our forwards. He usually has that injection of energy throughout a game, but he seemed to maintain that energy and that motor and shown a really great gas tank in this one and fought for us every second he was on the field. So I loved Aaron's energy from the bench. He's going to take home my 2 points. Who's going to take home yours?
I think I'll go Ez as well. I think that you've made a good point there that obviously you had to really replace Jimmy Joloff and maybe Ez could be that guy to really come on and do that job. I know that obviously Josiah is starting this week, but you still might see Ez. But Aaron is a real good player off the bench there. So, yeah, I think that 163 run meters with 86 post-contact meters. So, you know, double, basically half of his run meters were post-contact, which is awesome. So, yeah, I'll go Aaron Clark there for the one.
Well, my 1 point was Sammy Verrills for all the reasons you said. The 49 tackles there and setting up that first try to Cleese. Really like what Sammy's bringing to us lately. And it's been exciting watching him rediscover his form. We do have an exciting update for the Frontline's Finest Leaderboard. We have a medal and we've actually gotten it. We've got it fully delivered here now. Now, Blaze, if you can reach off stream here for those that are on YouTube, you'll be able to see it here. Look at it in all of its glory. In all of its glory, apart from the person it's on. They're joking. But yeah, so we got that made up at a custom metal shop. We got like the Titans blue on it. Blaze will hold it. Nice. Actually, I'll put you as the big one so people can see.
You put me on the wrong side. There we go. Yep.
There we go. And on the back, you'll see 2024 Frontline's Finest Gold Coast Titans and a bit of the Titans logo there. So yeah, really exciting stuff there. We got that medal custom made up and we are actually going to award it to the player that gets it because we love the Frontline and we feel like, you know, the players could dismiss it and say, oh, this is a silly gimmick. But genuinely, if you're a part of the Frontline, you love the Titans so much that you are watching every game keenly and eagerly. And you and I, when we know we're coming here to recap, do the same as well. So hopefully whichever player does receive that appreciates it. Really, really cool. And really excited to hand it out.
Before we move on, big shout out to Keanu Kinney in the game. I thought that he did a great job as a youngster and had his best game, one of his best games for the club. I thought that he did a really good job. And I do feel like it was unfairly hit out of his hands. So I don't think I'd blame him for that realistically. But yeah, I thought that Keanu Kinney had a great game overall and is definitely showing himself to be a quality player going forward. It's going to be an interesting conundrum when Jaden Campbell comes back in a few weeks.
It's unbelievable how quickly people wrote Keanu off after a few poor performances, given his form last year and the fact he was selected for the New Zealand Kiwi squad when there's fullbacks available to them, such as Chancellor
and Kilda Joey as well.
Exactly. Joey Manu, RTS. They got some options, but they got Kinney in there for the experience. We'll move forward to our affiliates recap. The Jets go down to the PNG Hunters, 36-18. There was a bye for Tweed this round, so they moved to 10th on the ladder. Unfortunately, the Jets do remain in last place. Blaze, I'll let you run our listeners through on how our Titans players went there for the Jets.
Yeah, so Jalen DeGroote, we follow this man closely each week after his trial form, back to fullback with one try assist, one line break assist, and 88 metres. So great game there from Jalen. Has been obviously on our extended reserves last week, I think, and I think he's there again this week, if I'm not mistaken. We also had Kenny Mamala with one try, 148 metres, two tackle breaks, and no tackles or miss. He had no tackles or miss at all.
Yeah, just no one was dare to run at Big Ken for that game. He didn't have to make a tackle. He didn't have to miss one. I thought that was a funny stat.
There you go. Ben Liu, unfortunately, as we said earlier in the podcast, ACL this game, and we'll wish him all the best. Arama Howe, my boy, two tries, 90 metres and 27 tackles for just the two misses there. He's also, and everyone was so obviously looking at Tony, but you know, he's also been put onto our extended reserves. So we're definitely looking to increase our youngster usage towards the middle part of this year, especially when Origin's coming around. Arama might be able to get himself into a spot. You've disappeared on the screen. And then we've got Seth Nicktimo, who moved to lock four runs for 47 metres, 22 tackles, just a three missed. So, yeah, good performance there by the individuals. Obviously, the result didn't go to plan, but going to Papua New Guinea is a whole different beast.
100% it is. Next week, our Tweed Seagulls are up against the Falcons at 6 p.m. on a Saturday. That's on the sunny coast. And our Jets are against the Devils at 10 past 2 on Sunday. That will be on KO and 9 now, but it is the same time as the Titans game, which is unfortunate. So we probably won't be able to watch that one.
I'll just say as well, you know, you go and have a look at the ladder here. I've got a massive gripe with the Host Plus Cup A because the Clydesdales have had two extra buys than the Jets. So I think they've had three buys so far and the Jets have had one. And it's really strangely set up because I think the Clydesdales, if I'm not mistaken, might have another buy. I don't know. The point of the matter is that the Ipswich Jets aren't actually last right now if you think of it in a normal way. So if you think of it normally. So the Jets have played 9. The Clydesdales have played 7. The Clydesdales have got 8 points to the Jets 4. The points differential is -146. Clydesdales is -154. So the Jets actually, you know, you weigh those two extra games in. You expect the Clydesdales will more than likely lose both those games. It's wild to me. It really is wild. So the Jets are actually above them. So don't worry about that. In regards to the Tweed Seagulls, they're in 10th position. They are literally still only 2 points away from 5th. So that's how close that middle part of the table is. But they're also only 2 points away from 14th. They're only one loss away from 14th, technically, remembered by, and one win away from top 5.
Yeah, Tweed going well enough there. While you were talking there over on YouTube, you would have seen me disappear there. That's why I work out this program and figure it all out. Sorry about that. I've just brought our team list up on screen, Blaze. Let's talk about that and leave last week in the past. We'll preview next round now, which means I also need to click this at the bottom of our show. There we go. I am the best producer ever. Alrighty, mate, a few changes to our team this week. Kieran Foran on the extended bench. Let's start there. Do you think he'll be okay to return?
No one Desi, mate. No one Desi. If someone's name is on this, you know, team list at any stage, it means that they could come in at any stage. Would I be even completely out of the equation of Jalen DeGroote and Arama Howe coming in? No, but then they're not going to. But I'm just saying, like, anything that Desi does, I'm telling you, I reckon Foz plays. I reckon Foz gets away in. So, yes, I will say.
I've got my fingers crossed if Foz plays. I think we're a good chance in this one. Joey Stimson back on our bench because Jimmy Joliffe is obviously unavailable. And a very exciting change in the outside backs. You can see me moving my mouse around there. Jojo Fita shifts to center. And Tony Francis makes his NRL debut. Mate, this is something we've been calling for on the podcast for a while now. Super exciting talent from reserve grade. How excited are you to watch Tony debut?
Shimmy, 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 baby. Get around Tony, Tony. Yeah, look, really excited for him. He's bided his time really nicely. He's been patient. You know, he's done his job when it was at Burley and also has been doing his job at Tweed. And look, he's getting thrown into the fire, man. The Cauldron Suncorp Stadium against our biggest rivals, the Brisbane Broncos, a team that I believe he originally used to support, but keep that on the down low. But yeah, look, I think that, you know, this is a game that Tony comes in and has to really turn it up for the team and has to prove himself. We've got the two of the best wingers that have been in the Host Whites Cup for the last couple of years, because Olofiana Kamprera obviously played alongside him when they were at the Burley Bears, and I think they both aligned with Tweed. So, yeah, I think that actually, is Loffy Tweed? Or is he Ipswich?
He did play in one of those teams this year, but I can't remember which one.
I think it was Jets. I think it was Jets. I could be wrong. We could be wrong. Do forgive us. But yeah, anyway, the point of that is when they were at Burley, they played alongside each other. So, yeah, look, it's really exciting stuff. And again, it just shows that, you know, good things take time. And hopefully the big Thorny can come out and do a job and really try to lock down his spot. Obviously, Philip Sami's still out for a few weeks now. And then maybe it could be a battle between Tony and Loffy for that other wing spot.
Mate, absolutely agree with that. Tony has had some insane stats in reserve grade on the big stages, such as the grand final. Last year, he scored a hat trick. So he has performed in a number of ways in reserve grade. And this is definitely maybe not overdue because we have got a lot of outside back depth, but certainly deserved, absolutely deserved. I scrolled through some key stats there while you were talking so everyone can see where we sit against the Broncos in this one. And I'll give my preview now. Both sides come into this one under strength. Realistically, they're missing a few players. We're missing a few players. And both sides did go 1-1 last year. Despite that, the bookies are significantly with the Broncos here, as are NRL tipsters. Everyone thinks the Broncos will win this one. We come into this one. Look, we've only won two of our last five, and that's a key reason why I think so. But our three loss margins in those losses have been 4 points, 2 points, and 4 points. So we've been right in contests and competing, and we've been underdogs in all of those losses there as well. The Broncos have also this year, I've noticed a trend where they don't score fortunate tries, but the ball bounces their way. There's been a lot of tries where they just kick ahead and the ball just bounces back perfectly to them, or someone offloads or someone drops it from the other team and they run the field. So although they do average more points than us, they average 25 points per game, we on the average 18, they've been getting a lot of lucky tries in that one. Why I think we're a chance. This is a huge game for us. The Broncos look at us and they don't go, oh, we're versing our biggest rival. They think we're versing the Titans. Whereas for us, we look at it and we go, we are versing our biggest rival. And not every time, but more times than not, we do turn up against the Broncos at Suncorp and give it a good crack. I would actually suggest we probably struggled against them more at Seabus. At least that's what it feels like with my recent memory there. I think we're a chance, man. Look, Broncos have won 7 of their last 8 at this venue. They've beaten us in 4 of our last 5 games, but I'm happy to tip us. I really believe in this side and what Desi's building. Look, factoring in, the Titans' last 4 losses now has been 4 points or less. So I actually think we're a chance here, mate. I can see why everyone's tipping the Broncos. I'm not saying we're going to rock up and win easy, but I give us a chance. Give us a chance if we show that same resolve and competition and competitive edge that we've had the last few weeks. How do you see this one, mate? Break it down from your perspective.
Yeah, this is definitely a tough one. Obviously, you know, traveling to Suncorp Stadium 2 weeks in a row, and we're going to obviously have those kind of demons that from last week that I hope that our team doesn't remember, because you don't want to, one, get used to losing, but you also don't want this team to now remember and feel like we're going back into that Justin Holbrook era where we can throw away leads, because we've done such a fantastic job of not doing that recently and actually turning up for the most part in the second half. But yeah, look, obviously, the Broncos are a very beatable team. If you guys don't know what I do, I stream every single game when I'm not there at the Titans games. So there's only one game a week I do miss because it's when I'm at the Titans game. But I stream every game. So I've watched the Broncos play every time this year. And they are very beatable. They are a team that also doesn't have the likes of Adam Reynolds. They don't have the likes of Billy Walters. They don't have Jesse Arthurs, who actually originally was from the Gold Coast as well. You know, they've got a few players out. They obviously lost the likes of Flegler, Kurt Catewell, Herbie Farnworth, all these guys in the offseason. And they're still trying to piece together. Like, they are in a better spot than us for sure. And they've got a lot more of a developed roster. But also that developed roster does rely a lot on the likes of Adam Reynolds. And Adam Reynolds is not in this game. So Look, the Broncos definitely deserve to be favourites. I don't doubt that at all. You are right. We definitely have a better record at Suncorp than we do at Cbus against them. We just seem to turn up quite a lot there. It's just that, unfortunately, you know, last year we beat them 8-12. The year before that was an awful one where they came back on us pretty hard. And the year before that, they came back on us pretty hard. And I think the year before that, we beat them. So, yeah, it does go kind of back and forth there a little bit. But, look, I definitely am always – I will say this as well to people. If you're taking your family there and you're taking your kids there and whatnot, do be very cautious about kind of the way you act, because – Broncos fans do like to scream and shout and shake it all about, saying they don't care about Titans, they don't care about the Titans fans at all, but they can be quite aggressive. The Broncos fans can be quite aggressive. So just be very careful when you go into this game. Take my advice, because I go to every single game, and I can tell you that anyone who goes to these games, they know that Suncorp Stadium as a Titans fan can get quite full on. So, yeah, look, just be safe, be cautious, and be still passionate. You know, we want to see you out there supporting the team. But, yeah, I definitely believe that we can win this game. If we do have foreign, I'll tip us. If we don't have foreign, I probably will shy away from it, because I think we do need the experience there. We don't have Tino for the experienced leader. We don't have Big Jimmy Jolliffe as an experienced leader. You know, we don't have AJ Brimson, who is that just that energetic spark that can get it going for us, even as a leader. You know, we need a guy like Foran. We do. We need a guy like Kieran Foran. So if Kieran's playing, I tip us. If Kieran's not playing, I unfortunately will say that I think the Broncos will win this game. So it does rely. And that's nothing against Tommy Weaver, by the way. I just think that Chrissy Randall for me is not a six. Tommy Weaver did a great job, I thought. I thought he did a pretty good job on the weekend against the Knights. So you give Kieran Foran there, and I think that they can do a pretty good job, because you actually haven't seen – you haven't seen Tommy Weaver and Kieran Foran too much, besides, I think, maybe the back end. No, because was Foran playing the back end last year? Yeah, he would have. So you would have seen him in the last couple of games. I think that Foran and Tommy can do well. I didn't think that Weaver and Boyd did well at the beginning of the year, but I do think that Foran works well with either Boyd or Tommy Weaver. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game, but I will play the fence a little bit this time around and just say we need that experienced leader, which will lead into the next point you're about to ask me. But I will say we need the experience later. So if Kieran Foran plays, I tip us. If Kieran Foran doesn't play, I unfortunately will tip the Broncos.
That's fine. And I can mirror that. Like, when I say I believe in us and I give us a chance, that doesn't mean that if I was had to tip for my life, I would back us. It just means I've got that belief. Got a few key to victories this week. I think, number one, we need to limit Walsh's impact by making him work. And I think we can make him work through early kicks, or at least effective kicking. So there's a big job there for Tommy, because if Kieran does return from a hamstring injury, we don't want Kieran doing all the kicking. Tommy, we need a big game with the kicking boot there. Believing in the man beside you. Now, the reason Walsh and Jock Madden and Ezra Mann have been able to create these overlaps the last few weeks is by defenders overcommitting and jamming in to try to shut down that play. Have faith in the man next to you. Where we have a lot of luck with that, actually, is Brian Kelly and Alofiana Kanferreira. They've played a lot together last year. Jojo Fafita and Tony Francis played juniors together. So we do have belief in the men beside us in the back line, and it's about really believing that when they do sweep that long side or short side. Finally, our middles must have 9 out of 10 games. Between Payne Haas, Jordan Ricci, Pat Carrigan, etc., we've got our hands full. As you said, Moeki Fodawaka needs to go full Queensland mode. Aaron Clark must bring that same effort and energy from the bench. Josiah must have the best game of his young career. Bo must defend his heart out again. Every single forward here needs to go up a gear. Final key to victory, Blaze. Cleese needs to prove he's the best half in the business. It's he has to shoot out of the line and put a huge hit on his brother, Paino. Nice and early, mate. What are your keys to victory, or something you're hoping seeing in this one?
Mate, this is the pain. But pain Schmain, mate. Pain got nothing on Cleese. Cleese is the best house in the business. Not even a question, mate. It's just very simple stuff. Very simple stuff. I think that, you know, for me, the key to victory here is to, I don't think it actually is to match them in the forwards, because I think that's going to be fine. I actually look at our forwards and I do still like it compared to theirs. I know they've got Paddy Carrigan. I know they've got Payne Haas. But Corey Jensen isn't anything special. I didn't realize Billy Wells was playing, but Billy Wells isn't anything special. Pierre Curran is okay. And Jordan Ricci, for me, is really overrated, like severely overrated in my personal opinion. Then you go to our forwards. You've got Mike Fotowaker, big time. You've got Sammy Verrills, big time. Josiah Pahulu, obviously a youngster, so we don't look too much there. Dave Fafita, big time. Bo Fermer, big time. And then Cleese Haas, who's still developing, but is having a great season. I actually, and I would love to see as well, Keenan Palacio come off the bench here and do what he did at the Broncos, right? Because you do usually see guys like Jared Wallace, or you see guys like Dave, who have played for the, you know, the Broncos in the past when Wallace was here, or now with Dave and whatnot, they always seem to score against their old team. Now, Wallace of the Dolphins does it with us. The point is that players usually do well against their old team. So, yeah, Keenan Palacio, I want to see a big job out of him. So, for me, the key to victory is to... Oh, what should be the key to victory here? I think the key to victory is to frustrate Reece. I think it is. I think you're right. I think you have to frustrate Reece's pieces. We did that last time at Suncorp Stadium, at Fafita Corp Stadium. We did that last time. I thought that we did a really good job of that. And obviously, that was the game that he ended up getting like suspended for, you know, calling the referee the C word and whatnot. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But the point matter is that we're going to back us in. But that, I think that's the key to victory, to frustrate Reece's pieces.
Mate, absolutely love it. Let's move into our final segment of the show. It's time to phone the front line. Ring, ring, ring. All righty, Blaze. Who are we going to go first here today, mate? Who is going to phone the front line first?
So I haven't got it open, mate. So I've actually gone and starred a few of them.
I see the ones that are starred. You should be able to hear this one through this program we're using. So we'll test it out.
Yep.
All righty, first up on phone the front line, let's listen to Jordan.
Hey, boys. How you going? My question, hot take, is I believe Brian Kelly is top three Titans for this year. He's holding the team together. He's like the glue. What do you guys think? Love you, boys.
Thank you very much,
Jordan. Good question.
Oh, yeah. Send the love straight back to you, brother. I think my top three Titans this year would be Jimmy, Kieran, and Dave. I think that's my top three. So I'd have Brian Kelly just outside, probably around the top five. Who's your top three Titans this year?
You'd have to go Jimmy. Like, Jimmy's a no-brainer there. I think what he's trying to say is, like, he's a pivotal part of the team and that he's, you know, underrated based on the fact that he, without him, the whole ship sinks kind of deal, which I do think right now we do have, like, a little bit in the depth department, and he's probably right in that department. But, yeah, if I'm looking at the three most important players to our season so far, you would be looking at Jimmy Joloff, Jamin Joloff. You would be looking at Kieran Foran. And then you go to, it would be Dave. Or you would even say Chrissy Randall. AJ's been great too. But, yeah, like I wouldn't necessarily agree with top three personally. I wouldn't say that he's bad like everybody else does make him out to be. I think the BK, especially in a game like this, we also forgot to mention, like in this Indigenous game, we could see guys like Lofty kill it. We could see guys like BK kill it. You know, these guys might really turn up and should turn up, especially with the Lofty impact with his mum designing the jersey. So, but yeah, anyway, the point matter is that I think the BK is a very important part of this team. I think that he's experienced. I think that he is a better player than people make him out to be. But we just need to see him not miss as many tackles. I think he missed quite a few tackles on the weekend just gone, but also does have his big moments. He's very like rocks and diamonds is what I would say with BK. He's rocks and diamonds where he is the pivotal player in the team, massive player in the team, but then can also make a mistake or two, right? So, love BK. Think he's important, but I probably would have a few others more important right now in regards to what we've seen this year.
Yeah, as you said, he wasn't his strongest form to start the year, so probably not top three for BK, but he has been important. Our next phone on the front line comes from OJ.
Hey, lads. Big fan of the show. I just got a question about whether you lot think that we are playing like a 16th place team. Love you, BKR.
Okay, no love.
Okay. I'm not going to answer your question then, OJ. No, I think we're playing way better than that.
OJ, you're a great bloke, mate. Don't worry. Don't worry about Clarky, mate. It's all good.
Now, look, I think, mate, we're 16th, but we're not playing like a 16th ranked team. Our last six games have been 4 points or less decided by. We've lost four of those. We've won two of them. Even if you give us another win there, that slides us up the ladder a little bit more. I don't think we're playing like a 16th ranked side at all. I think there's been a lot of improvements, maybe even more improvements than last year when we were a chance of making the eight, in my humble opinion. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's no way that I think that we're playing like a 16th place team. Like, you look at the teams around us right now and all their fans are complaining, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're upset. You've got the Rabbitohs who are an absolute schmozzle at the moment. Like, they are just all over the shop. And then you go and have a look at teams like the Eels. They just sacked their coach. They're angry. They're upset. I think the Tigers fans are in a very similar situation to us. They're not playing as well as us, but the Tigers are in a similar situation to us where they do feel a bit more positive because they're obviously they're not last place like they normally would be. And realistically right now, they are just like us where they're two wins above the Rabbitohs. And the Rabbitohs play the Eels this week, so a bit of a bottom four clash. But then, yeah, like I said, the Eels, they're right now, they're in 14th. They're playing like a 14th place team with a few injuries. The Warriors, they're in 13th. They're complaining and whatnot. So, yeah, for me, I think the Titans right now are probably playing like a 10-11 team, 10-9 through 11, but probably more so the 10-11 team. And you'd be hoping to improve. And, you know, fun fact, you give us those 4 points and we would be in 11 around that 11 area. It'd be, our points differential would still have us 13th, but we'd be equal with 11th and only 1 point behind Manly and 10th. So that's where I feel like we are playing like that 10-11 team. And then you just have to hope for the back end of the season to really, well, mid part of the season to pick it up and move along. So no, I would say that we're definitely above where we're at right now. But then again, you've got to remember all our injuries. All of our injuries are really, really hurting us. But yeah, I'd say 10-11. Would you disagree?
No, I'd agree because you add in games like the Knights, the Raiders, the Storm. There are tight ones we lost or were in it most definitely. And they're sides that are well above us on the ladder, but we competed with them very, very well. So Storm was high second. And I know they had injuries, but we've got injuries as well. That's footy. And we were right in that game. Our next fight in the front line comes from Brody. This one's over a minute, so strap yourself in.
G'day, boys. Hope you're doing well. Just with the news with Jamin Joliffe, I honestly think that one of the most overlooked aspects for why we've had our struggles this season, despite the fact that we have been playing the last few weeks, is our injury toll. Obviously, within the fan base, we acknowledge the amount of players missing, but I feel like a lot of people don't really talk about the fact that we're missing Campbell still, no AJ Brimson, no Philip Sami, no Tino, no Jamin Joliffe now. And I just wanted to ask you boys, in your history as Titans fans, do you think that this is the worst injury toll that the club has had in a season? Because we've had some doozies in the past. You know, 2017, we ended up having to bring a Keegan Hipgrave from the under-20s, who wasn't even technically supposed to make our first grade roster until 2018. He had to play that last round against the Roosters. Jamal Fogarty that same season, we had to sign him from Parramatta to have him make his NRL debut. 2014, 2015, we had some bad injuries. So I just wanted to ask you boys, in your experience with the previous seasons the club has had, is 2024 the worst injury toll that we've had this season, like in the club's history?
It's a great question because, like, we've had seasons before where we've had teenagers debut at halfback for us with Jordan Rankin, I believe his name was. He was in school when he debuted. I remember 2014-15, we had players like Kieran Moseley, Bo Falloon, Jamie Dowling, players that, like, other NRL fans are not going to recognize their names. I reckon this is the worst. I reckon this is the worst because Tino is our captain. Jaden is our biggest X factor player. Jimmy has been our best forward this year. Philip is our only Maroons level outside back.
No, AJ.
Oh, yeah, AJ, if you include him as a center, I'm including him as a spine player. AJ has played Origin in the spine. In terms of the gravity of the players we're missing, and in terms of if you add all those players in to the games that we're just losing, we win them all. We're probably in the top eight right now. So, yeah, I reckon it's the worst injury crisis in our club. What do you say?
I'd say easily because this is you look at it in another perspective. You go, okay, yeah, we lost Tino as our captain, but then we also lost Kieran Foran as our captain, you know, and with Origin, I know we shouldn't include Origin, but, you know, we're about to lose Moe to Origin as well. So that's three captains realistically right there. Foran will come back though. But the point of the matter is that you've lost your two captains and then you go into the halves and for weeks we had no, obviously Tanner Boyd that was forgotten to be mentioned before, you know, Kieran Foran was injured and we also had Tommy Weaver that was injured. So we were preparing to play this last weekend with two hookers in the halves and Sam Verrill's halfback and Chrissy Randall in the six. Right. And then you go to the fullback department. You know, we've had no AJ for long periods this season. We've also had no JC for a long periods this season. We've got Keanu Kinney there, but, you know, like we were going to play Philip Sami as the fullback at one stage, but we didn't because I think we decided to put Keanu there, if I'm not mistaken. No,
he wasn't able to return.
Yeah. No, who ended up playing in the fullback role? Okay, that was Keanu, wasn't
Kenny
it?
Did. Yeah, Kenny yeah. did, but Phil wasn't even in the lineup. He had to pull out completely. One thing I've also got to add to that, we started the season in our most devastating losses without Kieran Foran, and both of our signings in Harley Smith Shields and Keenan Policy have been injured for longer periods this season.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so there's no doubt in my mind this is the worst injury season we've had for a long time. You know, people, and this is, and to answer the question, Brody's question there quite a little bit, I'm pretty certain he lives down near you, Brody. He's a Canberra local. But he's right. You know, we don't get the respect that we deserve from the opposition fans because we don't have a loud enough voice. You know, there's only so much that I can do, Bear Cow Sport. There's only such that Dane can do, Clarkie's Rebel League column with our audiences and our platform, where people already look at us as Titans fans and they're going to think we're whinging and complaining and whatnot, and they're just going to hate on us for whatever reason, right? But we need you guys to jump out there and to kind of keep forcing your voices up there and be as loud as possible, as passionate as possible to show to people. But also, I will say this, who cares what these other fans think at the end of the day, right? Like, we know what we know. We know all you need to be focused on is the Gold Coast, the Titans, and our community. It's like the fans are going to talk nonsense regardless. They're going to talk shit to you regardless. You know, whether we're doing well, we're not doing well, you're bandwagon, not a bandwagon, you've got injuries, you've got no injuries. The same shit talk is going to come through to you. So, you know, as a fan base and as a collective, and we're a small collective, but we are growing. It's getting to that point now, 15, 20 years on, where the youngsters are coming through. So we've just got to be as loud as damn well possible to remind everyone of that, but also not care if they actually acknowledge it or not. We've got to remind everyone of that as loud as possible, but not care about the outcome of you letting them know. So that's what I'll say. Worst injury season for sure. And we just got to keep on doing whatever we can to keep on pushing.
Mate, absolutely agree. Shout out to Brody. Love watching games in the front line with him and definitely loved the edit that he did up for our club earlier this year as well. Our next phone, the front line, is from Elliot Graham.
I believe that the Titans having pretty much all of our star players out is actually an excellent opportunity for the rest of the team to step up and show their potential, just like they did in the Knights game, like standing up without any, you know, AJ, Foran, Brimson, Campbell, Tino, really no Big Jimmy either. Tanner Boyd either. It's a big opportunity for the young guys to make a name for themselves.
Completely agree with Elliot there. And, you know, I look at the Roosters the last few years, how many injuries they've had, how much depth they have in their squad now, where no matter who's in or out, they still have a very strong lineup. The Roosters haven't been full strength since the 2019 grand final, and they're still finishing in the finals and having pretty good seasons because they've unfortunately had so many injuries along that journey. We could definitely be in that same boat. An example from another sport is the Golden State Warriors. They had a year where two of their best players, being Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, weren't available. And that allowed other players to step up and touch the ball and experience more first grade or more NBA than they would have. We've got that same opportunity now, so I absolutely agree with Elliot. How do you see it?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for guys like Josiah Bahulu. It's a great opportunity for guys like Arama Howe and Jalen DeGroote potentially coming through. Even Isaac Fasu-Malawi, Tino's brother, to show himself out. He's on the extended reserves. And there's also, who's the other one that I'm missing right now? Jacob Alekwinki as well, who does deserve a crack. And we'll probably see him, you know, during Origin when Dave goes or Bowie goes as well. You know, and or Bowie goes as well. So I don't know if Bowie will get in, but I do know that he's a shout for it. So, all these injuries are definitely providing an opportunity. But it's like you've got to take it in two ways. Yes, they're getting the opportunities, and yes, these inexperienced players are getting some good time under their belt. Also, just a quick little interjection here, the Roosters have got 120 years, actually, now from 1908, where they've been in the comp. We've been in 17, right? So there's a foundation and a platform built with these clubs, and this is why the Rabbitohs is a little bit of a weird one right now, because they've also been around for 120-odd years. Just without the fact that they got kicked out for 1 or 2 years there. But these platform and foundations, these long-term clubs really help the fact that you can transition from, you know, your big star players and still have that depth to compete, whilst we don't. And we've only been around for 17. So you look at it from that one aspect and say, yeah, the inexperienced players are getting some time, but you also have to sacrifice the victories. And you have to sacrifice the, you know, we're going to win this game, we're going to win this season, we're going to go and challenge for a premiership. You know, you've got to think, okay, 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time, these players will be at their peak. So that's what you've got to sacrifice if you want the youngsters to come in. and really kind of be pushed through as much as they are. But then if you're going, obviously, the premiership route, then you kind of do sacrifice blooding those youngsters. So you can only choose one side. We've kind of not chosen it. We've been forced it down our throats this year. So, yeah, it's a great point, and we're going down that path right now.
It's not only been forced down our throat, but we've kind of been a little bit indecisive with that in the past. Like, I'm sure there was a time where the club knew Ash Taylor and Kane Elgee weren't going to be premiership winning halves for us, but they were still our best option. And despite having other options on our book, we didn't play them. Another example was Jared Hayne. When he came to us, his form was very poor, but we kept playing him despite having younger centres and other players that deserve that fullback or centre role, etc. So you're right. There's a clear line in the sand here that we've been forced to make, and hopefully it holds us in higher stead for the future. Alrighty, guys, we will go ahead and close the show right there. We want to say thank you so much to everyone who has tuned in for, I believe, episode 38 of the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. We're building up rapidly. We are growing every week, and we love this community dearly. We'll see you next week, hopefully, to recap a big win up there at Suncorp over the Broncos. Again, quickly before I go, if you do want to win tickets to that game or tickets to other games or even just sit with the Frontline, follow us on Instagram, Titans Frontline, or join the Facebook group. Have a great and safe weekend, Titans fans, and over to you, Blaze, to close the show.
Mate, let's get it rocking, baby. We actually do have a post-match function at the... I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but there is a post-match function, call up the club membership and see if there are sell tickets available for that. There's also a bus that is going from the Sporting Globe in Logan and also the Sporting Globe at Robina to Suncorp Stadium. There's like a membership price ticket thing that you can get. All inclusive, which is in the Titans Bay with us all. I'll be there. As you guys know, I'm always there. And just be careful, guys. Just be careful from me to you. Just don't, if you're not sitting in the Titans Bay, just be very, very cautious of the people around you, because it is a rivalry game and is fiery. And no matter what other people may say, the point of the matter is that you just have to be really kind of wary about what's going on around you. Much love as always, guys. And keep on cracking on. And we'll see you guys next week, baby. So let's get a bit of zing going. Come on, girls, get the zing going, baby. Zing.